that that started. And so I wanted to welcome everyone. This is Tuesday, June 25th, 2013, and it's our second teleconference for the Three Principles Institute. And so everybody, I have you, I'm going to mute everyone as I did the last time. And if you want to ask a question, just press star 2. I wanted to just present a few things first and then open it up to us conversing together today. This is about a 60-minute call. And so I just wanted to cover a few things. One is because of my license, I just want to note that this is not a substitute for mental health counseling or clinical supervision. It's just an educational seminar. And so I'm going to take a few minutes to present some information and then open it up for questions. It is being recorded, and you could go to the recording on my website and download it for yourself, or refer your friends to it if they're interested. And that website is www.3principlesinstitute.org. So there, so it's been a really wonderful June in the principles being presented in Santa Monica, where I met a few of you that are new on the call this time, and also in the UK at the Tikkun conference, which was just wonderful, and I have met a few of you as well. There are a few people new to the principles, so I thought that I would just start with a brief introduction of the principles. And today I just wanted to talk about happiness and what do the principles, how they help us have an understanding of happiness. But I just wanted to briefly present the principles because some of you here on the call are new to that. The other reference is that I really went into an in-depth presentation of the principles in our last teleseminar, and you could, again, reference that audio for yourself on the website, so you can really hear a more in-depth explanation of the principles. But principles of mind, thought, and consciousness, all they're really pointing us toward is the fact that we are all part of formless spiritual energy that gives life and is an intelligence that exists before the universe that we are all a part of. It's a creative energy, and it's an intelligence that exists in all life. And we are all part of that. We are all part of what we are calling mind, this formless energy and intelligence. And it's useful to know because we can count on being able to make use of the wisdom beyond our own learned ways of thinking. And, you know, we've called that through the years innate wisdom, but it's really something that for me, when I realized that we all have this intelligence that's available to us to be guided through life, it really relaxed me. I didn't have to monitor myself so much and try to find answers through my own intellect, that there was something much more powerful that I'm a part of that can help me with any life situation. And the other piece about mind is that all of us are connected to one another. We're connected to all living things, and we really are the same. And we all have that the opportunity at any time to realize this knowledge that we all have within our consciousness. The principle of thought tells us that, you know, we really can, you know, any thinking, any thought that we give any of our energy to, this power of thought manifests that thought as a fact in our lives. It looks very true to us. It becomes a reality we live in. So we have this capacity to create thinking, and whatever thinking we attend to looks so real to us. at the Tikkun conference and maybe also in Santa Monica, I talked about how that was really my first insight. My first insight was into how thought creates feelings. And like all of us, I think I was taught that my feelings came from the outside and were created from the circumstances I found myself in. But the principle of thought says, no, the experience you're having moment to moment is really coming from this capacity you have to think and to manifest that thinking as a reality that you live in. And consciousness just brings all of that to life for you. It's an awareness of our thinking and brings everything to the table to make our thinking look real to us. And so when we, you know, talk to people, it really looks to them very, without a doubt, with certainty, that this the outside, their friends or spouses or work or so forth, is really causing them to have the experience they're having. But the principle, fellas, no, it's really coming from through us, through the fact that we are a part of these three principles. So very briefly, we're alive and have the intelligence of life behind us. We think, and our thinking becomes a reality we live in, and consciousness makes that alive for us. So just yesterday, I was talking with someone who I met for the first time who was suffering from a lot of fear. And as she talked about her thinking, you could see, if you understood the nature of the principles, how when she engaged that thinking, it created for her something to be afraid of and the experience of fear right away in that moment. And there was no doubt when she was in that thinking that there was something to be afraid of. It did not look to her like thinking. Anyhow, that's briefly the principles. And again, I would suggest that you download the recording from May that's on the website in the community page of my website, Three Principles Institute, and you can get a more detailed description of the principles. But today I just wanted to talk about happiness and how the wisdom we have within us is really one that can direct us to happiness and well-being. And really, happiness is just a word for really connecting to energy of mind. It's really a peacefulness that that comes to mind for people when they really find happiness. And happiness is something that is within our consciousness. It's not something that comes from the outside in. And in a way, it's our default setting where we, to at any time, clear out any troubled thinking that we might be caught up in. We will have a deep feeling of happiness and well-being. And it's kind of like how a cork is buoyant. I mean, once you take weight off a cork in water, you take a weight off a cork, it'll bounce right back to the surface. It's the same thing about our ability to feel happiness and well-being. And the only thing that really gets in the way of that or is an obstacle to that is the kind of thinking we get ourselves into that troubles us or creates a lot of different negative experiences for us. So, as I talked about at the Tikkun conference, you know, all of us were kind of susceptible to thinking that happiness and well-being come from the outside, and we can easily and innocently become vulnerable to thinking that our happiness will come from something happening to us or by us doing something outside of ourselves. We could find a way to feel happy, get the right person in our lives, get that degree, get a better job. And I think all of us are a bit influenced by that kind of that idea that our happiness comes from outside of ourselves. At the Tikkun conference, I talked about how people can easily get hooked to thinking that doing something in life, what they're doing is making them feel happy, have a sense of well-being or peace of mind. You know, like shopping or playing video games or getting on the internet or, you know, having that special date. Or what, we could come up with anything because we are very creative beings, and we could come up with anything to make us happy. You know, I know when I had down times when I was working at this clinic and was looking at it was really the clinic causing me the stress, you know, my stressful day, it was an option for me to start looking at the lawn ads and look for a job that a place where I could work where I would feel better. So we're all kind of vulnerable to looking outside of ourselves for happiness and well-being, but it's really our default setting. It's really when people really get to a feeling of quietness in their thinking. You know, like I was saying earlier, remove trouble thinking, they start to feel a peacefulness. I know for me, I had a moment of that, I mean, a really deep moment of, I don't know, thought just left me, and I just felt deeply, deeply peaceful, and just had a deep sense of love and understanding, kind of an unconditional feeling of love, and that was just a light degree of my mind quieting down one moment in time, and there's so much more of that available to us, And what helps us is to see that it's something that is within us already. Again, if I mentioned at the conference, if all of us, even us right now on this teleconference, really quiet our minds down, we would be in such a tremendous sense of happiness and well-being. Sidney Banks, who had the epiphany that brought us the three principles, really helped me a lot to break that down to say that it's really all love and understanding, and to see and to look for that within ourselves. I know I just saw a couple yesterday, a married couple who had been, you know, in a lot of conflict with one another, and had been able to put to rest the conflict, and they came in a very deeply loving state, and as they talked about it, you could just see that they found within themselves a deep feeling of love as they put aside their, you know, kind of ill will thinking of each other. As they put that aside and as they put aside trying to get their partner right and fix their partner, they really settled all of that down. All of a sudden, they came into deep loving feelings. And so they talked about the whole session about generosity, about gratitude, and all of that started to surface as they touched this deep well within us of this spiritual essence, which is just pure love and understanding. And it gets manifested again in thought, of course, because that's how we are able to have experience in life. And it gets manifested. It gets manifested in many, many different ways. They were talking about how they did generous acts to one another, how giving they were to one another, how thoughtful they were for each other, how considerate they were, how thankful they could, you know, the husband was telling me he was out on a drive just by himself, and all of a sudden he had this deep feeling of well-being, and then he had a thought of his wife and was just thankful for her being in her life. And so it's just wonderful what we can come to as we begin to quiet down our usual suspects of thinking. That's what this couple was able to find for themselves, and all of a sudden this love and understanding manifested. So we didn't have to really do any strategies together. We just talked about the principles. And as they found more understanding for the nature of thought, how really it wasn't their partner that was distressing them or disturbing them, it was the way they were thinking about their partner and they really caught on to that, they found their own ways to quiet that, and in came this feelings of love and understanding. So happiness and well-being, that state is really the state of contentment. And maybe all of you have visited that from time to time, that space where you just have a deeply good feeling and you just are at peace. And if you looked at that, you would see that there isn't anything in that moment, in that one moment, that you personally need or that you have a sense that you personally lack. Because the state I'm pointing to is something that exists beyond you as who you are, you know. When I had that deep moment of peacefulness in that moment where I was in deep, like pure feelings of love, I had no sense of myself. I just was in this realm of feeling deeply contented and deeply, deeply loving. And in that moment, there was no thought of needing more. And Sidney Banks talks about that in terms of being satisfied with what is, that contentment and happiness is that being satisfied with what is, that you have no personal thinking about yourself. You have no need to have more. And I talked about it in the Tikkun conference as a way out of the addiction cycle, because once you find contentment, once you see that that can exist in you and that you have the experience of it being a very, very peaceful state, you start to surprise yourself in that you realize that you don't really need anything. You don't need anything outside of yourself to have this feeling. So I just wanted to briefly touch on that topic with you, that, you know, from birth, the consciousness of the world is one that directs us to look outside of ourselves for happiness, getting something right in our life, waiting until something happens before we can really be happy. But what I was wanting to share with you today is that happiness is there 24/7. It never leaves, because it exists beyond your own way of using thought, your own personal thinking. And as we find ways to help ourselves look in a different direction rather than outside of ourselves, more within our own consciousness, when we start to just quite naturally quiet down our thinking, happiness comes up. And, you know, I saw this many, many times with the people I worked with in our alcohol and drug program, that once they were able to understand the nature of thought and not get so involved in their struggles of thinking or their painful thinking, they started to feel happier, just quite naturally. They would come in and say, I don't know why, but I just had a wonderful week. And there's no real why to it, because it's something that exists in this formless energy that we are all a part of, this deep feeling of pure love and understanding. So what I want to do is just open this up to us having a dialogue with each other and see if anybody has any questions or anything they'd like to share. And if you do, press star 2. Press star 2. Okay, we have a question here. Hi, how are you?
Good.
So right now we've got a couple of questions. This is somebody from Bakersfield that's on Skype.
Well, it could be me.
It is you.
It's actually Toronto. I don't know why it says Bakersfield, but there it is. So this is Brian O'Day.
Oh, hey, hi, Brian.
Hi, Howard. I'm wondering how it's possible, like what occurs to me is how is it possible? It seems my default is fear. That thought comes up, and the instant it comes up, it defaults directly to fear. And I know it comes from actions not taken or actions taken, and the thought comes about those inactions or actions, and I immediately default to fear. My question is, how do I switch that default? How do I flip the coin?
Well, you know, I would say that, what I was pointing to in terms of saying that default setting is that were it not for our thinking, were it not for these kinds of habits of thought that I think you're proposing as your default setting, kind of your usual way of thinking, where you go to, what seems to come to mind for you pretty quickly or easily. I meant that beyond that is a formless energy that you are a part of that we're calling mind that has this deep sense of what we would call happiness or well-being. And
right,
I think
that is
what, And so what's happening is that the fear, you know, fear is just one way that thought will manifest. And where you want to what you want to reflect on is through the power you are given to create thinking. That's kind of thinking that's usual for you. And once you engage it, it will look true. That's the nature of this capacity you have to have thought. So as circumstances present themselves to you, and you take a look at those circumstances, you're using your power of thought to make some meaning of those circumstances. And it sounds to me then that the usual way for you, and human beings have all different ways, is to, you know, create kind of a scary movie. And once you do, and you don't know, it's coming from just this power you have to think. It's just coming from thought. And when you don't have a sense of that, and you watch the movie, you know, thought and consciousness make it look real. Where you want to go with this is to begin to reflect on whether you can see that that the whole experience of what you're calling fear is really coming to you from these formless principles, and that once you put energy into a worry or a fearful thought, it will manifest itself in your life as real. It'll look real. Does that make sense to you? Yeah.
And it's totally conditional, and I understand that I think I understand that what you're saying is that beyond my conditional thought, there is this place of unconditionality where the default is happiness without condition and despite conditions. And so if I, you know, it just being who I am, the struggle, and I realize that struggle probably will get me nowhere, but the struggle is to find myself there as opposed to where I invariably find myself. That's it, basically.
Well, I think you're already seeing something. I would think that that's a nice way to say it. And, you know, I mean, you don't want to work on that, but I think that that's true in a way, what you're saying. And that's where you want to start to look. You want to look beyond what you've come up with already to try to help yourself see something, see it from another angle. And to know, if you could just know without, you know, you may just have a sense that there is, that you are a part of something. You are something, actually. You are an energy, an intelligence that is beyond the, you know, the sphere. That's enough to start with. And so I like the way you put it together, that, you are well-being despite, you said that, despite, you know, your circumstances or despite whatever's occurring with you. And that's a wonderful thing to kind of just get a little glimpse of. Because as you can just reflect on that, that glimpse will grow. Because you see, this knowledge we're talking about is in you. You know, the understanding of the nature of thought is already in you. And as you can reflect more on the fact that, oh my God, through these principles, I think a certain way, and when I engage that thinking, man, it scares the hell out of me. You know, it's like, oh my God, there it is, my Friday the 13th part 2000, you know, whatever that is, you know.
But how do we access the disengaging ability? That's...
Say that again, I'm sorry.
How do we disengage? How do I access that ability to disengage? So I'm presuming that beyond the conditional thought, there is this unconditional place. How do I leave my thinking and fearful mind behind so that I can get to that place?
Well, you know, that's a really important question, you know. And there's a couple of things I want to just share with you there, and then there's another question I want to go to, and then, you know, we'll see what we can do with the rest of the teleseminar on this. So, you see, what you're looking for is that I bet there are moments in your day that you are already not in a fearful place. I would bet, you know, that there are some moments. And in order for that to occur, outside of your own awareness of it, you cleared your head of fearful thoughts. And so when we do, we have a different feeling, whatever we're thinking after that, you know, that's what we'll have as our experience. And so where you want to put yourself now in learning the principles is that really what will take care of you is an understanding or a realization for the fact of thought. Something that exists before you have your thinking that allows whatever it is that you're thinking to come to life for you. And you want to put your energies and reflection on that rather than trying to work out in the area of what you've already formed, your already fearful thinking. Because this isn't a kind of strategy based understanding, because it's really pointing you and everybody else back to where it all started. And when you can get a glimpse of where it all started, you'll have a realization that will help you. So for me, I had this deep realization that I make up emotions, that emotions and feelings are made up. Now, I couldn't live at that level. I still got caught up in my emotions. But that kept kind of there on the periphery of my understanding that even though I'm caught up in my feelings, I know they're made up through thought. And I just kept reflecting on that, and that understanding grew. See, you'll come up with your own way to disengage. You will, if you have a sense that all that's creating fear is thought. It looks real, And but if you start to get just a feel for the fact that it's being created through the power you have to think, you're going to start to loosen it. It's going to start to loosen its grip on you, because you're going to start to have other thoughts about it other than the usual thoughts you're having. I share this. I want to share this story with you, and then we'll go on to this other question. But I shared this in the Tikkun conference, but it's coming up right now as we talk, so I want to share it with you as a way to grasp what I'm pointing you toward. Very quickly, I had in my practice just last year, I had this 85-year-old woman come into my practice who wanted to be happy. She'd been depressed for 25 years. She was healthy, but she was 85, and she knew she just didn't have that much longer on the planet, so she wanted to be happy the rest of her life. And we'd been working together for about 6 weeks, and she was like, tell me, how do I get rid of these depressing thoughts, you know? And I kept talking to her about the principles, and it wasn't going anywhere. And I just kind of said one day, well, Mabel, are you ever happy? She said, yeah, I am. I said, what? I said, when are you happy? You've been telling me you're depressed 24/7. When are you happy? She says, well, Mark, I'm happy when I wake up. And I said, Mabel, you're happy when you wake up? And she said, yeah. So I said, well, what happens to that? She says, well, you know what? By the time my feet hit the slippers, I remember I'm depressed. And we got it. She got it. She saw the nature of thought. That once she stood up from bed, she remembered, oh, man, my day's bleak. Oh, she remembers, I didn't treat my husband well. I have no friends. And all of a sudden, she was living in this reality that, of course, if you start looking at life that way, it's going to look true. That's what thought and consciousness do for you. But she got it. She saw, oh, my God, I just start to bring in this thinking. And that helped. That just switched it for her. It started to break up its hold on her, where she could say to herself, oh, wait a minute here, don't go there. I don't know yet how to really see this another way, but I know I can't go into that. So she started to get her own ways to help herself. So I hope that was helpful to you. Thanks for bringing in the question. You know, I also wanted to say that you already see something. And I want you to stay there. I want you to see that you see there's something that is pure despite the conditions that come your way. You said that yourself. And I really want to support you staying there. So I'm going to go to our other question that we have here. And then... Okay, great. Good talking with you. So I'm going to go to our other question. Hello? I have no name or city or anything. Somebody here raised their hand.
Is it me?
Oh, yeah, it's you.
Hi. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
It's Jackie from the UK.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi. My question, Mark, is about happiness at work. And having had some... sort of not learning about the principles, I can't now work out whether I'm sort of believing negative thoughts about my job or whether my job isn't just the job for me. And I don't know whether if I get to sort of understand the principles more that I will be able to stay in my job and enjoy it, or whether... I should leave, really. I suppose it's also to do with how do personal preferences come in with the principles. I know what you're saying about Sydney Banks saying that being happy with what is, but it seems to me we all have sort of natural inclinations as to things that we prefer. I suppose I'm sort of struggling with that. Does that make sense at all?
Well, I think so. I think there was a lot there that you were sharing, you know. So,
the question really is how do I know whether it's my negative thoughts and I can get past that, or whether, I should trust something in me that tells me that the job is because I know you said you were unhappy in your clinic or something and you thought about looking for another job. I suppose that's my question, really. How do I know whether it's distorted thinking or whether truly I should be in a different situation?
Well, you know, let's just kind of back up, because I think this is really nice that we hear these questions, and I just want to guide you in terms of like what I found useful for me.
Okay.
So any question I have, it's helpful to go back to, well, what's really going on?
Mm.
So anything I'm experiencing must come through thought.
Yeah.
It must. It's not coming from the outside in. So I always go back to that and then try to set out to see, well, okay, if I see that, what can help me with this question, you know?
Mm.
And it's really interesting. I'll tell you what helped me with the job. A couple of things helped me with my job. One was, Sydney Banks once told me one time, well, you always want to leave a job feeling good about the job.
Right.
You want to go to a job that's higher than the job you've had. So I was always puzzled by that, because I was still a novice learning the principles, and I was, you know, not happy in the job. You know, I'm thinking, how am I going to get myself to feel good about this job before I go to the next one, you know? It was a conundrum for me. But the other thing I saw was, and this is really, really valuable, is that I wasn't always in that state about my job.
Mm.
And so I started to see, wait a minute here, it has to be something about the way I'm looking at things and the way I show up sometimes that's really affecting the way I am experiencing my work.
Mm.
And that's true. That's
yeah.
true, you see. And so I just tried to get clarity about the fact that what I was getting upset about on the job was really the way I was looking at things. And so this kind of led me to see that my colleagues and so forth were really using thought in the same way I was. And I didn't have to take a lot of what they were doing personally, which I used to do.
Mm.
And there were aspects of the job that I had to be careful with the way I was looking at it, because I could easily get reactive to it. And then I started to just immerse myself into doing the best I could
mm.
and not thinking about whether I should leave or not.
Right.
And here's one of the things that helped me with that too. Now, of course, I don't see this understanding at the depth that Sydney Banks did. But one of the things in a conversation with him, he was talking to a group of us one time, and he talked about, after he had the deep insight into the principles, into seeing mind and seeing God, he went back to work. And he was a mill worker. And he went back to work for 6 months, working at the job. He didn't think anything of teaching about the principles or anything like that. He was talking differently. He was living differently, because he just saw love and understanding. So he had a lot of understanding, and he saw the nature of thought. But he went back to work. And then one day, it just occurred to him, it's time to leave.
Mm.
And he... He also talks about this in one of those DVD programs, or the Long Beach Lectures or the Hawaii Lectures. He talks about this.
Right.
And, you know, but he was talking to us about it, and he said, you know, I went back, and when I went and resigned, everybody told me things of why I shouldn't.
Mm.
And those are things that everybody thinks, you know, but I knew it was right to me now.
Mm.
And so he went back home. And like he, you know, he had no idea where he's going to make money or anything like that. He went back home, and all of a sudden people started to show up at his doorstep from all over the world.
Yeah.
So what that taught me was that we'll know.
Mm.
But what you want to do about a question like that is see if you could get into a better space first.
Yeah.
About work. And see what happens from there.
Right.
But, you know, it's like, you'll know it's your wisdom because it will always lead to a better feeling. It won't lead to a worse feeling. And you'll know it may be your own personal thinking because it won't be kind of a clean, good feeling. There'll be some kind of, I don't know, distress attached to it or some kind of, you'll just know the difference.
Mm.
But that's what helped me.
Okay.
You know, take it back to, man, do I need to see a little more about thought here before I go to the next job, you know?
Yeah, that's helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is it? Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, what did you find helpful? Can you just tell me what was helpful to you?
All of it, really. But the bit about find what you've just said about being in a better place, leaving a job.
Yeah.
I can see that would be, because then I will know, won't I, if I'm in a better place. I won't be sort of reacting to what's happening. If I'm in a good place when I leave, then I'll be more potentially in my own wisdom than reacting to thinking I don't enjoy this job kind of thing. And then, you know, if I just leave on a whim, I could go to the next job and chances are it would be the same scenario, as it were.
Yeah, you know, we can do that anywhere, really. You know, we could get out of anything on a whim because of the state of thinking we're in, you know?
Mm.
Like at Santa Monica, I shared the story about, like, you reminded me that one time, I got so upset with my wife, you know. I mean, I could go all the way down to, oh, man, I'm ready to leave this, you know.
Mm.
You know, you could, see, you could
yeah.
just leave your own relationship on a whim because that's the power of thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if you know what's going on, it saves you. You know, it really does save you. I was telling everybody in Santa Monica this one time, you know, I really got caught up in it. You know, I thought, I'm going out. I'm going to take a ride. You know, I'll be back in an hour. I was so caught up in this, you know. So I get in the car and I get out of the garage and all of a sudden that whole way of, I just dropped the whole thing. I was no longer upset.
Yeah.
It just left me. I woke up to, oh, Mark, your thinking went south again. Oh, man. Okay. So let it go. Now I'm feeling better.
Mm.
Get it? I let go of all of that disturbing thinking. Now, not with a strategy. It just occurred to me. This is the thing about wisdom. It occurs to you. And as I was driving out of the garage, it occurred to me that I got all caught up in my thinking. And it occurred to me so well that I just let it go. But now I didn't want to go for the hour drive, you know. I didn't want to leave. You get it?
Yeah.
I didn't want to follow the wind.
Mm.
So that's what you want to use the principles. That's how you want to help yourself because we could get so caught up in thinking that we do want to leave on a whim. But you want to use that to help you see, oh, my God, I got caught up again. Wait a minute. Let me get my bearings back.
Yeah.
And then take a look.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was saying to you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, great. Anybody else with a question or a comment that you'd like to share for today? If you do, press *2. Yes, Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl.
Oh, hi. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I saw that you had a question.
Well, you were saying, you know, any kind of last little thing that what came to me when I was listening to the story about the job, because we've all probably been there in different ways, is
yeah.
there's so much marriage, and of course we've all been in that many ways, as you just referred to, where you get upset, and a lot of chaos was going on between me and my husband because we were doing a 2-month kitchen remodel in our home, and life was upside down and sideways. So everything got us all hot and angry. And so it's still kind of going on a little. And I just remember, just when you said that whether it's a job, you know, you don't want to leave your marriage any more than you may or may not want to leave your job. But the feeling that, you know, I'm just creating all this stuff about this person, and this person is still this wonderful person that you love, you know, and how easy it is to get that space, whether it's a job or a friend or a husband.
Oh, thanks for sharing that, Cheryl. I hope you've been doing well. I miss not seeing you at our applications. That's a great point, you know, because that's all that happens. That's all that's happening is that, you know, so much thinking gets created in our minds. And, you know, once we put that thinking into that power we have to think, it becomes real. And, you know, and when we back off it, this person looks loving. It looks like this loving person again, and then you kind of wonder, well, how could I have ever thought so ill about this person? So, thanks for sharing that and reminding us about it. And it's the same thing about our own happiness and well-being. It's that, you know, it's there for the asking, that well-being. And one of the things that really gets us away from that is to continue to monitor how we're doing and to keep evaluating how we're doing today and how much have we been involved in, even thinking about how much have we been involved in our own thinking. So that question of how we're doing today really takes us away from our own well-being and happiness. So, but thanks, Cheryl, for sharing that. Yeah, we can get so wrapped up into judgmental thinking or fault-finding or having opinions. And that's how I was with my first couple of years in this clinic. It was a great clinic. I mean, it's funny that I saw all of the faults of the clinic, but once I kind of woke up to understanding and deepened my own feeling of well-being, I really was grateful for, you know, for being there. It's just a strange thing at looking at it on one level that I could have found so many faults, and it would have made sense to look for another job. And then all of a sudden, I changed. Through an understanding of these spiritual principles, I become, in a way, a different person with more understanding for others and for the circumstances of life and more of a sense of when I'm going south with my thinking. And all of a sudden, I feel wonderful in this job. And so it again reiterates, I think, what you were pointing to, Cheryl. It's not so much what we're in or the circumstances. It has more to do with, again, what we're making of a circumstance through this wonderful gift. It's a wonderful gift to have thought, you know, to live at the effects of thinking, because you want to know life. You want to know life. It's just that we're talking about where that thinking got contaminated a bit innocently from what we were taught as we were growing up. And sometimes it's become a place where people hang out in rather than just visit, you know. And so it's wonderful to have this gift of thought and consciousness, because then we get to know life. We get to experience the beauty of what's around us. But given that it works the same way for everything, we get into habits where we put into that thinking a lot of thoughts that distress us. And all we need as a way out, really, is to realize that all that's going on is that thought's creating that experience. And it's wonderful, too, that we have the capacity as human beings, as living beings, to realize what's going on. That's a wonderful gift. And all of us on the call today have had some sense of the principle. And to have had that in our lifetime, we're really blessed, because that's all that's going on. That's all that's going on, is that thought is creating a reality that we live in. And we can realize that that is all that's going on. And it's not like a practice or a strategy to realize this. It just occurs in our consciousness. It occurs as a new thought that tells us, gives us more information, awakens, it tells us, awakens more of the knowledge that we were all born with. And all of us have it. And we are, you know, we're so grateful that we have the capacity to realize, have it occur in our thinking, that thought is creating the experience we're now having. My two cats here at home, they can't get that. You know, I sit them down and I tell them about the principle, but they have no sense that it's their thinking that, you know, is what's got them not coming up on my lap, you know, or begging me for food. But we can. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift. And so what you want to do is just be reflective with the principles and just kind of have a reflective stance with them. Well, we're winding down the call today. I hope it was helpful and made sense to people. You know, I don't normally do this on the teleseminar, but, you know, if people wanted to look at any time with me where I could help a little more with the understanding of the principle, just shoot me an email, and we can, you know, maybe get a time where I might be able to be more helpful to you. So we have a few more minutes. Any last-minute comments from anybody? Anything that hit home for people today? Well, I really appreciate everyone being on the call. And once again, we're going to put this on as an audio on the Three Principles Institute website in the community page. And it's free for yours to download, or if you wanted to share this with another friend of yours or to let them know what's been happening for you, what you're learning. Yeah, it's there for free for download. So thank all of you. I hope it was helpful. I hope it was helpful and made some sense for you all. And we'll be back at this again next month, the fourth Tuesday in July. I'll be sending out reminders to people. And have a good rest of the day. All right. Take care, everybody. Bye.